Hey guys, I'm Ellen Glover, and this is the Indiana University Bicentennial Podcast. It's a sunny spring morning in Bloomington in 1895. The sun is hanging low in the blue, cloudless sky, the birds chirp from the branches of the maple trees, and a young couple wanders along a dirt path running through Dunn's Woods, a green space in the heart of Indiana University's campus. The pair walks until they find a nice grassy spot beneath a tree. They lay a blanket out and sit, and they spend the next few hours talking and reading and flirting. Before long, the entire area is dotted with other college sweethearts, the women in pink and white dresses and the men in their duck trousers. The couples will sit outside and mingle until the day grows dim. This ritual occurred reliably in the early days of IU, as long as the sun was out and the air was warm. In fact, this courting custom was so popular that it developed a special name, campistry. Campistry's beginnings date back to the era that Indiana University became co-ed, after 1867 when women enrolled at IU. It was performed at pretty much any grassy and shady spot on IU's bucolic campus, but it was most commonly seen in Dunn's Woods. The area was compact enough to allow for easy socializing and camaraderie, but the trees provided a measure of privacy for courtship to be carried out discreetly. Contrast this scene to the image of the dating rituals of the 1950s, the drive-in. The whole place was public, which allowed for some socializing. But when they wanted to, the couple could go to the privacy of the car and do whatever they wanted. At its peak, it was common sight to see as many as 50 couples out on a nice day taking campistry. In fact, it was so common that it was simply a fact of life if you attended Indiana University. Upperclassmen would even teach the uninformed new students about the unique custom. The following is a 1901 excerpt from the Bloomington Daily Student, entitled Information for New Students. Campistry and chemistry are not the same science. Both offer chances of working, the law of affinity applies to both. Both are experimental sciences, both include processes with varying results. In both, many fragile articles are broken. But the first science is always more pleasant than the second, and is always more popular with the girls. A class in campistry consists of no more than two members, needs no oversight from the faculty, and recites on the campus. The only requirements for entrance is the prospect of a spring case. The whole thing seems pretty innocent and sweet, there was a bit of rebellion tied with campistry. Couples were most likely to wander into the woods for hours at a time on Saturdays, when classes were not in session and the day was free. In that time, however, IU students and faculty were all expected to attend chapel on Saturdays. And what better way to rebel than to skip out on chapel in order to pursue romance in the woods? In those days, Indiana University was so small that pretty much everyone knew anyone else. Rumors would spread about who was taking whom into the woods. As a result, the students who were active campistry participants developed reputations, and the men and women who spent their days under the trees were made into stereotypes, similar to the way college students stereotype fraternity and sorority members, or football players and cheerleaders. The following is an 1898 excerpt from The Student, an IU newspaper, describing the typical IU boy who partook in campistry. There is one type of undergraduate that is more interesting and more widely known than any other. I refer to that happy-go-lucky individual who parts his hair down the middle and takes a cocktail on the side. He sticks a flower in his buttonhole and a cigarette in his face and imagines himself a superior of Count de Castellan, or any other titles foreigner. He is sipping the joys of life and throwing out the dregs. He is a curious combination of saint and sinner, fool and philosopher. He spends 15 minutes digging on his mathematics and 30 polishing his shoes. You ask him about his work and he is driven to death. In the forenoon, he attends recitations and takes campistry. But this wasn't just an activity that appealed to men, obviously. In fact, in Campestry's heyday, IU was famous for it. Students, particularly women who wanted to find their husbands in college, would flock to the university from all over to participate in Campestry. The following is another newspaper article, this time from the Daily Student in 1897. It describes the women who did Campestry. "I have never seen a place where it was possible for a reasonably pretty, clever girl to have such a good time socially as here in Bloomington. She is perfectly free from all of her home duties. When her lessons are learned, she is free to drive, play tennis, and study Campestry." Because Campestry was considered rebellious, that the institution demanded it be terminated. And for some faculty, you would be right. The reverend of the chapel certainly did not approve. However, it was not uncommon to see a few professors taking part in Campestry, either with another faculty member or even students. For years, more than half of the faculty marriages were those that stemmed from spring days in the woods. According to a 1903 Bloomington Daily Student article, statistics showed that more than 68% of IU faculty were married to either an IU student or professor. Because it was so widely accepted, Campestry also had a very romantic allure about it. Nearly every Arbutus yearbook through the 1890s had at least one reference, poem, or story poking fun and even admiring the old-time tradition. The following is an excerpt from a story that appeared in the 1899 Arbutus. It is a good example of how the students and faculty of IU felt about Campestry at the time. "The Indiana University campus is never more attractive than in May. It is then that the leafy, whispering boughs of the maples and sugar trees are most inviting for Campestry, that most fascinating pleasure of college life. The overworked freshman and the worldly senior alike finds it refreshing to lounge in the shade at a respectable distance from the recitation rooms in the company of a fair maiden. Nothing will more effectively drive away the thoughts of the blunder made last hour or make one forget when the next recitation period begins. The visitor at this time of year will notice cases of Campestry in all stages of development." While many of these Campestry cases were considered casual and flirtatious, many of them succeeded as relationships and even ended in marriages. Couples that effectively moved from the Campestry stage to the couple stage even had a tradition of their own. On commencement day, newly graduated couples that spent their college days taking Campestry would walk the trodden paths of Dunn's Woods in search of the perfect spot. When they found it, they would plant two young trees side by side in hopes that, as they grew, their limbs would entwine, symbolizing the couple's everlasting love. It's an impossibility to say just how many of these trees still stand in Dunn's Woods today, but judging how popular Campestry was at its height, I would guess many of the trees in the woods were planted by these lovers. It's difficult to say when Campestry actually reached its final days, but it did start to decline considerably in the early 1900s. It would be hard to pinpoint exactly what caused its deterioration as a tradition, but I would say it had something to do with the new methods of entertainment, like the radio or the talkie movies that were being invented at the time. Students were finding new ways to entertain themselves, and they no longer needed to go outdoors to do so. Although it has since died out, it is amazing just how long Campestry survived as a tradition. As a 1903 Bloomington Daily Student article stated, "In the Western school, there seems to be an utter lack of this spirit which fosters and preserves tradition, and there are few customs that date back more than 25 years. Those that do are the exception, not the rule." Campestry proved to be the exception, which makes it an interesting custom to learn about. And it should still be considered an irreplaceable and special tradition. It provided the students and faculty at IU with the freedom to be themselves and explore the ways of love. It gave them a break from the stresses of classes and obligations and allowed them to simply lay out beneath the trees and enjoy each other's company. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Keep an eye out for more podcasts about Indiana University. I'm Ellen Glover, and this was the Indiana University Bicentennial Podcast.